Yeah, my name is Polo. I'm an addict. This is my new partner here. You know, she remind me when I was getting high. You know, I used to take a hit. Listen, I'm just here to share my experience, strength and hope. The worst story that you're going to ever hear in Narcotics Anonymous is going to be your story. And the best success story that you're going to ever hear in Narcotics Anonymous is going to be your story. Strap in, because you're in for the ride of your life. Look, I don't know how the fuck this shit happened. I was sitting there and I felt like I had to take a shit. Listen, I am so delighted to be clean. I am so delighted to have people remember my name. I am so delighted that people think of me so much when I don't even think of myself that way. You know, before we go, I know the committee gonna buy the newcomers some books, but I just wanted to give some books away. It says, many books have been written about the nature of addiction. This book primarily concerns itself with the nature of recovery. So if you are an addict and have found this book, please give yourself a break and read it. If there's any newcomers in here counting days, you can have this book. Anyone here? Listen, I did that because that newcomer might leave here with nothing but that book. And I'm just here to share my experience, strength, and hope from how I got here. Right? There's no model for the recovering addict. When the addict stop using, wonderful things stop happening in your life. You know, I got here in 1985. I was 15 years old. A man named Goat brought me to my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting. I didn't know nothing. I just smoked Chiba Chiba and I liked Coke 45. You know, but something happened when I got here. I started to see people that was just like me. And everything that I heard in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous became my reality. I'm just, look, I'm fetrified like a motherfucker. Right, but look, I'm just going to try to be myself. Listen, I'm not going to dwell successively on the drugs, because some shit happened before I got here. Listen, I am so grateful that I found Narcotics Anonymous when I found it. You know, relapse has been a part of my story for a long time. Because I always try to justify and rationalize the most outrageous nonsense to look at what drugs was doing in my life. I wanted what y'all had. I heard about dereliction. I heard about delegation. I knew about prostitution. Everything I heard in the room of Narcotics Anonymous became my reality. I heard people saying about the virus. I heard people saying with Hep C. I heard a whole lot of stuff, and I said that would never be me. As soon as I get my fucking life together, I can use successfully again. And everything became my reality. I caught the virus, hepatitis C. I heard a woman coming here talking about prostitution and dereliction, and I said that would never be me. But those who fail to remember are doomed to repeat. You know, at the end of the road, I was just wanting to push promise in the pool. I did whoever, whatever, for the next one. Listen, I ain't ashamed. Listen, I ain't scared of y'all motherfuckers. Listen, I sucked plenty of dicks when I was out there. I let people slide up in me because all I wanted was a hit. And I need to share that because sometimes that dereliction and that derogation in my life ain't easily seen no more. You get up here, motherfucker, you think you have a ride. You know, but listen, man, a dawn of a new reality. Listen, I remember, man, when dawn, I used to hate this shit. I gotta wake up to this shit again. I gotta shoot dope again. I gotta prostitute again. I gotta let a motherfucker bust up in my mouth again. I gotta do this shit again. But let me tell you, man, I'm so grateful for the members of Narcotics Anonymous that wasn't dealing with feelings, it was dealing with traditions in their life. That talked about today's decisions would affect tomorrow's members. That we need to remember the unseen members in our discussions. When y'all had the business meetings and y'all would, you know, vote on the coffee and the cookies. When I had nowhere to go and I would come to the meeting and I would steal the cookies. And I would come to the meetings high. I'm talking about the only requirement for membership is the desire to stop using. No one can arbitrate your willingness to hear the message of Narcotics Anonymous. Using addicts are welcome in our meetings with special encouragement to keep coming back. So if you hear you high, welcome. Because I came to meetings high. I got high at 11 o'clock in Harlem. I got high at 106 feet of Park Avenue, St. Cecilia's Church. I got high, remember the pain in Brooklyn. You know, Jerry, God bless the Jay, Nathaniel's brother, used to be sitting in the meeting, and he knew I was high, and he used to say, Polo, just sit down, I got a good cup of coffee for you. It was people like Teresa D that never changed their back on me. So you know, I didn't know that I suffered from a disease that affected me spiritually, mentally, physically, and could decay me emotionally. I always thought, you know, that if I substitute one drug for another, I get the right girl, I get the right job. You know, I'm gonna get it together. But it never happened. It didn't happen till August 3rd, 2004. And I'm here to tell you, man, like, some things happen like that. Listen, I ain't blaming the fucking disease. But some things happen, man. Like, you know, I was being terminally cool and fairly hit. You know, when I was a young boy, man, listen, my father was a good man. He was a sergeant major in the military. He was a good man. My mother did the best she could with what she had. But there was a lot of stories in my house that nobody really knew. My brother Timothy, my brother Ray, and my brother Eddie never knew what was going on. As a child, listen, I ain't up here trying to give you, you know, a fucked up story. My story's already fucked up. I don't need to add no new shit. But I felt so insecure in the inside. My father used to lay in the bed with me, man, and stick his dick in my ass. And a lot of times when, you know, when, listen, honesty is the antidote to my disease thinking. A lot of times I said that my father used to do that, but I felt appreciated when my father did that because it was a sign that he loves me, man. And I didn't want to tell nobody what was going on in the house because you know how it is, Puerto Rican family. You don't talk about what the fuck's going on in here. And a lot of times I would get jealous, man, and insecure when my father used to be with my mother, man. You know, listen, it was a lot of stuff. You know, look, before I get to the dawn of the new reality. Shit, it was fucking dark, man. You know, the dawn is when the sun come up and you start seeing life for what it is. But when you living in this dark place, you can't see shit. And coke and dope did it for me, man. So I kept using. I kept trying to fill that void inside. So here we go. August 3rd, 2004 was a good motherfucking year. I would like to tell you, because I'm just here to share my own experience, strength, and hope. Right? Listen, newcomer, man, whatever gets you here, keep you here, let it motherfucking keep you here. But on August 3rd, 2004, listen, there was some preparation that was going on before I got here. They said one addict helping another is without parallel. There was this guy, I know he's in the fucking room, but I'm a sheriff. There was this guy named Neil, man, that believed in me when I couldn't believe in myself. When he used to meet me at the 11 o'clock in Harlem, I said, what the fuck this nigga want? He must want some dick, you know what I mean? Because see, I was listen, I ain't trying to be funny, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to tell you that our program don't care about sexual identity, creed, lack of religion, none of that shit. Nigga, when the help come, don't tell the help how to help. And that's how I got to the dawn of a new reality. I didn't even know it was happening, man. And I went to a meeting, you know, listen. I went to a meeting, but I needed $20. I'm gonna tell you how I got here. Right, I look like I had prostituted. Listen, on Friday or Saturday, I had gotten 180 milligrams of methadone. Right, I sold my shit. Right? I bought whatever I had to buy. I was broke by Saturday night. Sunday, you know, I was prostituted, right? August 2nd, 2004. I was on Hunts Point in Garrison Avenue, right? Prostituted like a motherfucker. You know what I mean? I was sucking plenty dick when I was out there. Because I know one of y'all in here probably saying, what the fuck is he talking about? Well, you smoke some motherfucking crack, that shit will open your ass up for some suggestions too. You know what I mean? So 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 I needed $20, and you know the wife that I had at the time. Right, I called her and I said, "Listen, man, I need $20. She could have said anything to me, man. She could have said, "Listen, you know, you grimy, degenerate motherfucker, you done sold my panties, you done sold everything in the house, you done sold Octavius's baby shower shit." She didn't say shit like that. She said, "Meet me at the meeting." I said, "Meet you at what motherfucking meeting?" I live all the way in Hunts Point, Gabson Avenue, Deborah, right? You want me to meet you on Straight Path to Recovery in Wine Dance for $20? You fucking laughing, but desperation will get your ass there. And I remember clear as day, you know what I'm saying? I walked down Westchester Avenue. I took the... You with me? You know, look. I walked down Westchester Avenue, right, and I jumped on the number 2 train on Simpson Avenue. I hopped the train. Listen, desperation will make you do some shit you don't want to do. Right, so I jump a train and I get that. Listen, it's so funny, right, that when you motherfucking clean newcomer, you don't follow no motherfucking directions, but when your ass is using, you follow them all, right? So I have the train, and they told me to look for, you know, Penn Station, Ronkonkoma line, and, you know, I didn't have no ID. I thought it was ID, it was a methadone card, right? And I showed the conductor, and it says, "We use whatever, whoever, to get the next one." And I said that my mama had died. And he gave me a voucher, right? And I get to Wine Dance in Straight Path. It was a Monday meeting at 7:00. They still meet there. It's a beginner's meeting, right? And I walk down Straight Path. And for y'all people that live in Long Island on Straight Path Wine Dance, you know, Straight Path is radioactive like a motherfucker, right? They was never, they were saying B-Rock, right? But I didn't know what the B was, nigga, but I knew what the rock was, right? So I made it to the meeting, right? And when I get to the meeting, she ain't there. But check it out. Listen, I ain't giving out no shout out. I'm talking about before I got to the dawn of a new reality. So I get to the meeting, and you know, they had hot coffee, but when you kicking like methadone and you haven't eaten, your stomach is, you know, empty. You can't drink no hot shit. You know what I mean? And it was this lady, right? "Louise, get up." There was this lady, Louise, when I walked into the meeting. She said, "Paulo, sit down. Baby, you look fucked up." She got me a cup of coffee. I said, "Yo, Louise, can I use your phone?" And she know me, but you know, you can't trust no motherfucking addict. She said, "Oh, I ain't giving you my motherfucking phone." You know what I mean? So whatever, right? So then I get to the meeting, and that person showed up. And then we went to meet up with Neil. Right? And Neil don't like when I tell his story, but see, I'm one of them motherfuckers that got clean and didn't forget where the fuck the hell came from. With 9 years, 8 months, and 9 days clean. Right? So I got to, you know, the place where Neil was at, and you know, people that know Neil, shit, I ain't gonna tell him to stand up, because he ain't gonna fucking stand up anyway, right? But people that know Neil, Neil would tell you the fucking truth before he left. But it's something about Neil because, you know, Neil lives an alternative lifestyle, and that's not who he is. But Neil was sashaying like a motherfucker on me. He was like, honey, ooh-wee! You need help, baby. You need help. Listen, I was going to read out my literature, right? And I love my literature, but fuck the literature, I'm sharing from the heart, right? And Neil told me the truth. Neil said, man, fuck your baby. Fuck Octavius. Nigga, you worrying about a motherfucking 3-week-old baby, motherfucker. You need to start worrying about you. And I said to him, I said, yo, man, I need fucking help, man. And he called the place that I'm not going to promote because Narcotics Anonymous works. But, you know, I thought I was going to a motherfucking detox. I was going to a crisis center, right? But when I got there, I heard the message of recovery. Make 90 meetings in 90 days. If 90 sound like 2 months, make a meeting a day and the 90 would take care of themselves. In them 90 meetings, Paul, if you get a phone number at every meeting, you'll probably have 90 potential new friends. They said stay away from people, places, and things because they'll get you high before you get them clean. They said, when you get out of the institution, Polo, don't go back to tell people on Watson Avenue how good you look. Go to a meeting. And that's what I did. And I rock and roll. And I wouldn't give a fuck how Neil feel about me. Neil used to come visit me, bring me quarters, bring me soap, you know what I mean? And you know, and one time he brought me some crazy gadget shit, right? That today I know is a scrubby, right? And I said, yo, what the fuck is this? He said, it's a scrubby so you can wash your feet because your feet stink. Right? So listen, I'm just having fun. And listen, I got clean and wonderful things happened. You know, I followed directions. You know, I went to meetings, I talked about what I was going through, you know, I stopped telling the help how to help me, you know, y'all old timers was inviting me to barbecues, I went jet skiing. See, this might sound minute to a lot of y'all motherfuckers, but when you're from the Bronx, nigga, you ain't jet skiing. You know what I mean? So I was jet skiing, and I found my way in recovery. And I had some children along the way. See, it's easy to talk about the wonders of yesteryear, but the fourth step says, where the fuck are you at now, nigga? So my wife, my life shattered. Rain, I'm grateful for a sponsor. Listen. Sometimes you gotta look at the physical and mental anguish and the long-lasting inflicted pain that you cause on yourself and other human beings. You gotta place yourself in other people's shoes. And that's hard. I went through a major catastrophe in recovery clean. It's easy to come in here and, you know, it's cool to come in here and profess the motherfucker you want everybody to think you are. Some shit happened, man. I don't even want to talk about it. But life shot. Because I was afraid to let go of something I knew that didn't love me and I didn't love her. I was afraid to grow up in recovery. I was afraid to have my own. So I lived this life of fantasies and I lived a life through y'all people's eyes. wanted you to believe something that was never there. And I harmed. See, listen, it's easy to come in here and play the victim. You know what I'm saying? But nigga, you got to find out how much harm you created, clean. Damn, it got hot, this motherfucker. So listen, I'm not beating myself up. I'm talking about the dawn of a new reality. I wanted to leave. I wanted to know what it was to have my own. I didn't want to have nobody else's. I didn't want to be nobody's hostage no more. But I stood and I stayed because it was good to have a house. It was good to have this fantasy that I've never had. No, Sam Preen. So I would cheat. I would live this life of self-deception clean. See, it's not a point of what she did. I'm talking about what I had to do to get better. And I would come in here and talk about what I was going through. But it's like when you're breaking away the contradiction and the confusion of your own life, you know what I'm saying? And you're trying to separate your shame and guilt, you know what I'm saying? Find out which one is the real and which one is imaginary. And you know some things are there, right? But you're so afraid, Polo. You're so afraid because you don't want to talk about that inner and personal manageability about your life in the world that you live in. I'm really compelled not to share this shit, man, but I got to. And there's only like two people that knew that was really going on because they was always there in my house. I'm talking about, listen, I ain't talking about some bullshit. I'm talking about that if you don't change your perspective of your life and reality, motherfucker, you gonna use. So, you know, I had a son that threw in vitro that I came in and said about. You know what, man? Wars are never won. So, check it out, right? I left. With nowhere to go. With 9 years clean, I had nowhere to go. You should call Preem up all the time and say, yo, Preem, man, the disease is killing me. I'm in the goddamn half of Preem. Preem, I'm in the half of Preem. I'm in the half of smelling panties and doing all types of the disease. Had me locked and loaded, man. Because I knew somebody else was fucking my wife. But I would stay. And I would tell Preem, I don't want to abandon my children, man. I might not be good at everything else in life, man, but I think I'm a fairly good dad. And I didn't want to leave. And I left. And it's so funny, man, because... Am I bombing the shit out of y'all motherfuckers? So, yo, I left, right? Listen, I left, right? And I remember, you know, going to the meeting in Sterling in Brooklyn on a Thursday night, and there was this guy, Warren, right? And I was going through it, and I sat with Warren outside the meeting after the meeting, and I said, Warren, I want to leave. I just want peace. I'm tired of calling her bitches around my fucking kids. I'm tired of the fights. I'm tired of Octavius running in the room and you know, just saying, like, what the fuck is going on in here? And I remember I said, yo, God, I want to go to Brooklyn. And God heard my prayer, but that motherfucker sent me to better land and shelter. Yo, let me backtrack real quick. I don't know how much time I got. Listen, we're 9 years, 8 years, 11 months and 22 days, my mother died. She rocked my world. It rocked my world. But you know what? I did something that, you know, y'all people taught me to do. You said, you know, put the program into your life and not your life in the program. And I started making meetings and I started raising my hand and I started talking about what I was going through, you know, and I was angry with God. I never believed in God when I was here. I would do step work without a God, and some of y'all would ridicule me that knew me and said, yo, Paulo, how you doing step work without a God? But y'all told me in my second step that when I get truthful about my belief system, I could grow spiritually. I had to believe in God. I had to believe in y'all, and I had to believe in some principles. But shit, what you know about the truth is up for revision. And that shit rocked me. But N.A. was there, came to my mother's wake. It was amazing. Not her dying, but listen, I'm talking about, I got an old Spanish Puerto Rican family from Puerto Rico. You know, if y'all don't know, a lot of Puerto Ricans in Puerto Rico are prejudiced as a motherfucker. And they came in, my grandmother and them were like, yo, who the fuck is all the black motherfuckers? I said, that's N.A. Right, and listen, and I'm talking about the hope, the dawn of a new reality. I had to start to grow up again. I had to find this God that no one, you know, that I didn't want in my life. I didn't even want him. It's not that I didn't want him. I was angry with him. I didn't even know if he existed. People say, oh, you live with the virus. You did it, you know, you live it. No, I don't believe yet. But when my mama died, when my mama died, the devil used to call me and say, Polo, you okay? I don't know what to do, devil. She said, you know what to do, motherfucker, make meetings. And I made meetings. You know what I mean? And then my mother died, and we buried her on August 2nd. August 2nd, we buried her on a Friday. August 2nd, after I buried my mother, I got in the car with some other recovering addicts. And they took me to Springfield, Massachusetts convention. And I spent my clean day clean, my ninth year clean, after my mother dying. I was clean at a convention. You know, then I went through the divorce and I went to the, listen. Sometimes we're clean time. I don't give a fuck how much time you got. You know what I'm saying? We're clean time. Listen, we're clean time, Polo. Listen. Hold up. I'm going to go. How often we succeed or fail is not the measure of our progress. Our setbacks don't have to be the power to define our failure or experience strength and hope. It is the incredible importance to learn the difference between failing at something and being a failure. And we are honest when we begin to take responsibility for our part. Remorse can fuel the new willingness to change. Failure, just like success, has an important role to play in our lives, taking us places we would never choose to go. It can free us to pursue new things and to seek new borders and horizons. Right? And I want to read this for somebody that ain't believing God.
How can you say you don't believe in God? But when your ass is in the fetal position and you feel all alone, that's all you call it.
That's all you say, God, please get me out of this one. God, please don't present this shit. Please, God, I don't want to. Listen, God, you don't know what I'm going. Listen, I'm talking about I ain't believing God. When there was no more praying to talk to. When I had to sit in the house, man, and say, God, please don't present this shit to me, God. God, show me how to be a better person. God, I know this dude is about to be with my kids, God. God, please don't present this to me, God. God, I don't want to go to jail clean. God, show me that street principles and motherfucking spiritual principles, they conflict. Because if your ass go to jail, they'll still be fucking. You don't know the pain that I went through, man. But I'm so grateful that I found out in this program who is my confidant and who's my constituents. See, constituents are only with you when you confine to what you want them to do. Constituents are only in your life when they can manipulate you into a situation and don't want to hear what you really have to say, and they leave you when it's all done. It's like a scaffold. Constituents are like scaffolds. You put the fucking scaffold up, and as soon as the job is done, they bring the scaffold back down. The job is done. But when you got confidants in your life, when you tell people and say, listen, man, this is what I'm really going through. This is how I really feel. Listen, don't take parts in the party, right? Just become a friend if you was right or wrong. The sister talks about Polo, that, you know, listen, we fast and talk about, oh God, remove my defects of character. You know, but if you same way that you want God, Polo, to remove your defects of character, why you can't pray for somebody else's defects to be removed? You got to be more tolerant and compassionate to somebody else's defects because you know how much pain they in and you know what they going through. And it was times that I would call Preem. I said, Preem, what I do, Preem? He ain't give me no deep shit. He said, boy, if it get too rough, make a meeting. Talk about what you going through. And help somebody. If it get too motherfucking rough, make another meeting. Talk about what you going through. And don't pick up. So in the third time, I said, damn, this nigga gonna tell me some deep shit because he's my sponsor. I said, what else, Green? He said, make a meeting. Talk about what you going through. Don't pick up, but talk to God. And I found out through all this that I went through clean that you can't negotiate with God. This ain't me, this is the literature. We may start trying to make deals with God, promising all sorts of things, if this will just please go away, God. But check it out. I'm talking about the new dawn of a reality. This type of bargaining is not uncommon, but it's dangerous, Polo. and frequent unhealthy. When we start trading in the promises and expectation of our prayers, we start to set ourselves for a spiritual crisis. God said, I ain't going to do nothing for you until you start changing the condition of your heart. Then I'll start changing the condition of your surroundings. And I ain't want you. I wanted to die. You know what? I know a lot of y'all want to go to the beach and shit and eat probably some clams and smoke a cigarette. And I don't give a fuck if the CD beat me back home. Because I always came in here and told the truth about me. Because my truth ain't your reality, and my reality ain't your truth. I want the best for Adrian. I want the best for my ex-wife. I might not like her right now. I might have some resentments right now. But I want the best for her. She's pregnant. I want the best for her. I want her to have a healthy child. I want her to be happy. I want her to enjoy everything that she couldn't enjoy with me. See, that's a new dawn of new reality. It hurts that another man has to raise my children. But it's okay. See, only me and Octavius knows the truth. I told Octavius, I said, Octavius, he lives there. You respect him. You let him nurture you. It doesn't matter how much clean time he has to be in a relationship with her. She's not in love with his clean time. She's probably in love with him. And that's okay. And I have the right myself to fall in love again and have somebody in my life. Maybe one day in recovery, maybe one day. Maybe one day we could sit together. Maybe one day we could just sit together and bypass everything that ever happened and just be there for our kids. But for right now, that's not the story. Listen, in closing, sometimes in recovery, you got to be careful how you say things and how you address things, because it will come and bite you in the ass later. I'm sharing this because I want somebody to know that I'm okay. Listen, I'm not okay, but I'm learning to learn how to be okay, because I no longer have to like justify and rationalize how I feel, because y'all told me if you don't talk about what you're going through, you'll be talking about it in the crack house. So I love Tiberius, the son of Invitra, the son that I didn't make, the son that we when decided to have a child, I couldn't have the child, so we had in vitro. Artificial insemination. And for many many days, I came in here and I talked about it because, you know what, I was trying to give somebody else hope. that because you live with the virus or you live with Hep C, you know what I'm saying? You know, your days ain't numbered. You could find something that you could, God will give you some things beyond your wildest imaginations. You just got to be prepared for it. So I got to live with the mistake. In the new dawn of a new reality. I always came in here and said that it's not the father that raises the baby, that's the father. It's the baby that... I always said that it's not the father that makes the baby, that's the father. It's the father that raises the baby, that's the father. And there was times when I didn't know what to do and Deborah would come to the house and help me to how to be a father and help me change the pamper and stuff like that. I never said he wasn't mine. We got into an argument one day. And out of anger and resentment, I said, what the fuck you want me to say? He ain't mine, I ain't make him. And not being with both of my kids kills me. You know what? And she made a decision, conscious decision, that I can't see Tiberius no more. And I could have fought, and I could have did a whole lot of things. But there's a lot of damage already created, Breen. I just got to keep going. I just got to keep staying clean. It's so funny, because when I call the house, right, and I speak to Octavius, I hear Tiberius in the background saying, is that Daddy Polo? Deb, I miss him, Deb. I did everything for that kid. I did everything for my kids. But the dawn of a new reality in closing. If you ever go through a divorce in recovery, whatever you go through with your mate, try to always keep your kids alive. I just want to share that I'm grateful and I'm delighted that Ocean City believed in me and thought I had something to offer. Listen, man, the only life that I might save right now might be my own. Listen, I just want to tell you, I'm jolly like a motherfucker. Thanks for letting me share.